From the Schmoes No Network Studios in Los Angeles, California, it's time for Meet the Movie Press. And now, here's your host, the editor-in-chief of SchmoesNo.com, Mark Riley, and from The Wrap, Jeff Snyder.
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday. Happy Casual Friday. It is Meet the Movie Press here on the Schmoes No Network. Thank you all for tuning in, liking us on the Facebook page, subscribing on iTunes, and all that jazz. This is going to be a short one. Jeff, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Other than the traffic, I'm trying to like shake it off.
Yeah,
it took me a while to get here.
Guys, traffic was insane today. There was a big accident. That's what happens with the movie press when you have to go somewhere in LA. You never know what you're going to get.
It's like it's a mystery box. It's like J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, exactly. I wish he would reveal it this time. Waze was telling me, go here, go here, go here. I mean, I was all over the place. I got flustered.
You know,
as well.
We're just going to roll with the punches on this show. It's going to be a mini episode, but
yeah,
that may be for the best.
Yeah,
it was a slow week.
It was a slow week, aside for some obvious big stuff. But, if you're a first-time listener, my name is Mark Riley. I'm editor-in-chief of SchmoesNo.com.
And I'm Jeff Snyder, film reporter for The Wrap.
That is right. And the two of us here today, we're going to talk about some good stuff that's out there and kind of stay away from the superhero talk because it's been just taking over all the news. And it's like, great.
We're living in an age of Ultron, folks.
We really are. Which is it's but the
and we're going to talk about that trailer.
We are going to
for the most part, yeah, trying to steer away from superhero news this
yeah,
week.
Because it's like what we do is sure that there's a lot of hits that come with the superhero movies, but there's also some really good stuff happening out there that has nothing to do with superheroes, and we kind of want to talk about that.
Exactly. So
yeah,
this is our opportunity. We don't have a guest today.
Nope.
It's just Mark and I shooting the poop.
Yep, shooting the poop is what he says. I love it. But superheroes aside, we are going to talk about the Marvel Age of Ultron trailer. Now, we're not going to talk about it. I want to talk about the leak. And morally, I had my fans tweeting me, put it on your website, put it on your website. And I said, it's a leak. It's stolen. Okay? And they said, no, it's really high def. I looked at 5 seconds of it, and it was blurry. It was, I almost said it.
Mm-hmm.
It was the S word. And I went, no, I'm not doing this until it's official. Just because I've had an experience, I made a movie that was stolen and put on BitTorrent, and I had to work my butt off to get it pulled off. So I morally, that is just my opinion. You can disagree with me all you want. Jeff, what is your take on that?
Well, unfortunately, in this age of Ultron,
yes.
I feel like these kinds of things, questions of ethics, whatever it may be, they go out the window. Your movie, your trailer gets leaked. That's on you. That is on you, and that is on your post house, and that is on, your vendors. And yep. I'm sorry, but that trailer's going up. Listen, I think Marvel leaked the trailer.
You think so?
I totally think Marvel leaked the trailer. I think that they had their response ready really quickly. I think that they look like heroes, like being like, oh, well, now we'll just release the HD version. They still got a whole week of promotion for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
I
don't know if I buy that, actually, respectfully.
Fair enough.
Because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is just floundering. And this was going to infuse some new eyes or maybe people that have given up on the show to come back to see Avengers or people who haven't or don't, heard bad things about it and never watched it. But, oh, there's going to be an Avengers trailer. So I feel like that was going to save it. But, yeah, but I can see your point as well.
I don't even believe in those kinds of stunts. Like,
yeah.
I mean, how many people really were going to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a trailer?
Yeah, you know what?
I
recall a tweet that said, it's going to be up online immediately after.
Yeah, exactly.
So people can avoid the S word Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show. So you might be right on that.
I wonder how much Marvel even cares. Like, listen, it's TV, folks.
Yeah.
It's TV.
Right.
I think that the way that they responded,
mm-hmm.
It made them look really good. They got a lot of good press for that.
Yeah.
People were already sympathetic watching the trailer. I felt bad for Marvel that it leaked. Like, I don't know. This movie's going to make $2 billion.
Oh, I know. And it was a good trailer. And,
It was. It looked good. I'm not a big Not a big Marvel guy, not a big comic book guy. It looked like a lot of fun. It looked dark.
Yeah.
Which I liked.
Yeah, me too. We got into it a lot last night on the show. So you guys, you've seen it. You know what we're talking about. I'm just
suspicious. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how does a trailer like that leak if not from you?
Yeah. And to kind of give some credit to many of the fans that were tweeting me saying, no, it's an actual very good version of it. I did watch some of it, the leaked version, just to see. I didn't think it was a great quality, but then after the official one came out and I like went back and looked at the leaked and it's
not about the quality though. I think you just want to see these characters in action, even if they are blurry.
Yes.
I mean, for me, I'm a story guy. I don't care how something looks. I just want to see the footage or, you know, the story that it's trying to tell with that footage. So, you know, I obviously watched it again in HD when I got home. Definitely suspicious. I'll put it that way.
I'll buy that. I'll get on that and say you're right.
You just can't put anything past Marvel these days. I feel like they have such a master plan. That tweet was brilliant that they put out.
Yeah, they said, what is it, damn you, Hydra, or something like that. That was great PR, you know. With that leak, guys, it was very interesting on the movie press side, watching it spread like, I mean, faster than wildfire. It was up on every single site.
Well, Marvel was smart to, I mean, you can't take it down. I hate that when like trailers leak and then studios scramble to take every copy down.
And they started to take it down.
Embrace it.
Yeah.
Embrace the leak.
Well, I think they realized because it was so widespread, and we're talking worldwide.
Sure.
I think every single website had it. It was like Marvel could either spend days and days and days pulling it off every single site, which would have been a nightmare, I'm sure. It was just like, embrace it, here you go. So, well, there we go. It's out there.
That's it.
That's it. So, that's all we're talking about with superheroes, right?
Yeah, what else is going on this week?
Well, I want to give a shout-out to one of our previous guests, Justin Kroll from Variety.
I think I know that person.
Yeah, you know that person. I saw some tweets going back and forth. A little pat on the back for schmozno.com and my managing editor, Alex Welsh, who dropped a scoop few months back that Margot Robbie is joining the Taliban Shuffle with Tina Fey. We had that on a very good authority, a good source, and I noticed that Boris Kitt said it was an exclusive. I'm sure it was for him. He didn't give us any credit, but Justin over at Variety comes out, reports it, and gave us credit. So I want to thank Justin.
It's a very nice nod.
Yeah, who was a great guest on the show. He's a great guy. Great reporter over there at Variety, and so to get a nod from him, I really appreciate it. So I just thank you, Schmoville, as well. Thank you for reading that scoop, and I'm glad it turned out to be true.
Well, I think that there's been a lot of stuff up in the air with Margot and scheduling, because she really was going to do The Mountains Between Us at Fox,
right,
and Ghost in the Shell at DreamWorks,
yep,
and then it ended up being two different movies. It's going to be Taliban Shuffle and Suicide Squad.
Right, right, which is interesting.
Most likely.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about Taliban Shuffle other than it's Tina Fey, and I'd follow her anywhere. I love Tina Fey. So, and to see, and I'm interested to see Margot Robbie. A lot of people are like, she's not a, you know, comedic actress. I beg to differ with Wolf of Wall Street. She really walked a fine line.
She showed a great, great just comic timing.
Absolutely.
I think she's going to be a big star. I think she's very talented. She's absolutely beautiful. We know that much.
Yeah, yeah. And she's got Tarzan coming out as well. So
that's going to be a huge movie, guys.
I know. I'm kind of excited.
Like, that's going to be like John Carter, like Avatar. That's the sell that they're going to at least put on us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got a great cast. So I am looking forward to Tarzan. I know it's not really necessarily a reboot. It kind of picks up after Tarzan is Tarzan and he's back in the real world. I'm
right,
not sure, but and something brings him back to the jungle. I think that's it. But either way, the cast behind it is phenomenal. The director is great, so I'm excited there. So
did you see Tina Fey though in This Is Where I Leave You?
I haven't seen it yet. And I'm really upset at myself for not.
Got some bad notices. I enjoyed it. You know, it's about Jews grieving,
yeah,
which I appreciated. But I got to tell you, Tina Fey.
Yeah.
Not very good.
No. Really?
No. Well, she's a very good comedic actress, especially when she's writing her own material.
Yes.
But she's asked to handle some kind of emotional fairly dramatic scenes, and this is where I leave you. And I thought she was the one cast member who came up short and stuck out like a sore thumb.
Didn't quite hit, huh?
Sorry, Tina.
Yeah, well, I'm still going to see it. I'll go in.
It's a good rental.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a
rental.
Well,
it's probably going to end up a rental because now there's so many movies that have come out that just need to see. Like Birdman, I am still needing to see it. And my girlfriend, honey, if you're listening right now, please let me take you to Birdman. Don't argue with me. So what else have we got on here? I mean, it's been a slow week other than the Marvel news, but
I broke a fun one.
I want to hear
about Professor X.
Professor X.
Did you see that story?
No.
Patrick Stewart, okay, is going to play the leader of a gang of white supremacists in this movie called Green Room, which is Jeremy Saulnier's follow-up to Blue Ruin. Did you see Blue Ruin?
No, but I've heard great things.
Really good little down and dirty revenge movie.
Okay.
Starring Macon Blair, who's also going to be in Green Room. And,
okay.
And Green Room is reuniting the Fright Night stars, Anton Yelchin and Imogen Poots.
Okay.
And, it's just like about this band who kind of gets trapped in their own green room as like this gang of skinheads surrounds them. And
I did read that's nice.
I think it's very cool casting. Like when I heard about it, I kind of geeked out. I was like, Patrick Stewart, obviously he's already bald. He looks the part. So it's easy to imagine him as like this ferocious
that
bigot.
Okay, that I'm absolutely I'm sold.
He could be like a really cool villain.
He could be a really cool villain, and could this be like an Oscar for him?
I don't know about that, but
I don't know, because if you get a villain that like really kind of, you know, I think of like Kathy Bates from Misery, or like, you know, of course Anthony Hopkins from Silence of the Lambs.
Right.
You know, if it's done well, and if we're talking Blue Ruin, that's it had a lot of praise and whatnot.
On paper, it sounds like a pretty cool role.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
And have you ever, the movie itself kind of reminded me, because it's about like this band who witnesses a crime and then the perpetrators come after them. Have you ever seen Judgment Night?
No. God, you're schooling me.
Go back.
Oh,
yeah,
JT is
getting the thumbs up.
Giving the thumbs up from the booth.
Judgment Night's like Emilio Estevez and Stephen Dorff and Cuba Gooding Jr. and Piven.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Piven, you know, like way balder than he is now, and this is like 20 years ago. and they're like on the run from a gang led by Dennis Leary, of all people.
Okay, you know, I have to worry about it.
After witnessing a crime. It's one of my favorite 90s thrillers.
Oh, that's so cool. That is so cool. Well, great. That's a great scoop, dude.
Yeah. What else was out there this week?
Well, you know, there was one of my favorite stories was the Danny Boyle and Aaron Sorkin confirming that Christian Bale will be Steve Jobs.
Well, that's Chris Bale to you.
Chris Bale to you. Yes, sorry.
You see Sorkin's like, Chris Bale's one of the best actors. I'm like,
right. Who's Chris Bale?
I guess people call him Chris.
Yeah,
one day I hope to get to that level.
I do too, but I'm afraid he'll yell at me for calling him Chris. Stay out of my eye line, you son of a bitch. I think it's a really cool.
It's perfect, is what it is.
Absolutely. It took the words right out of my mouth. And we got into a little debate last night where Mark Ellis says that this is not going to be in consideration for Oscars at all.
Mark Ellis, you may be mistaken.
Yes, I think you are absolutely mistaken. I think this is going to be across the board kind of nomination if it's done well, if the execution is there.
I don't think you have to. Listen, say what you will about Scott Rudin, and I know I surely have.
Yes,
I don't think you have to worry about the execution when he's producing the film. Danny Boyle,
come on!
I think you know he speaks for himself. Sorkin, like all the elements are there.
You got all three
for this to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, all three have Oscars, and they know their stuff, and they're going to go in there and they're going to kill it.
And yeah, I mean Christian Bale was Fincher's top choice, but I think he was also the studio would love to have him. You know, he has the relationship with them coming off of American Hustle.
Yep.
I'm just glad that he came around and said yes, and that Danny Boyle was able to convince him. I don't know, you know, if something freed up schedule wise, but
let's. I want to break that down a bit because Leo DiCaprio was kind of originally in talks, or he was going to do it,
Boyle, you mean,
or with Fincher?
No. It was Bale and Fincher. Fincher wanted Bale, and he's like, if I don't, I mean,
oh,
there
okay.
was also some, you know, issue of money for Fincher. I think Fincher wanted like $10 million.
Okay.
And this is not, you know, a $100 million movie.
No, no. And especially, I think, I'm really intrigued by the concept of it, that it's three big scenes.
Right. Sorkin said Bale will have more dialogue in this movie than, like, you know, another actor's three movies combined.
I do not doubt it.
Cool.
Because it's Aaron Sorkin, and his dialogue is sharp, it's witty, it's perfect. I will say I love when he's just writing scenes with characters talking.
Yeah. Leo would not have been right for this.
I don't care
how many people try and convince me otherwise. I mean, Leo's an amazing actor, one of the top 10 actors working today, but I don't know if this was in his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Honestly, if it wasn't Christian Bale, if they didn't say yes, I thought it would have been really ballsy to go back to Ashton Kutcher, who I thought was really good in Jobs.
Oh, you did?
I really do.
Yeah.
I thought Ashton, like... Give him a better director and a better script. I think he could have done a great movie too.
I will agree, because I did like him in that movie. However, the movie just didn't work for me because I mirror Christian Harloff, Head Schmo's response to that movie. It ended before he got to really the good stuff that we wanted to see.
Fair enough, yeah.
And I think that with Boyle's movie, we are going to see the good stuff. What interests me is like
the power and the madness.
The madness, the announcing of the, I hear it's the like iMac announcement, then the iPhone announcement, and maybe the iPad announcement. I'm not sure.
So many i announcements.
I know, and I'm wondering too. I would love to see a transformation in Bale, to see the healthy Steve Jobs at the top of his game to when he was that skinny.
Well, we all know he's capable of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, we know he can lose the weight and put on the character. So this to me is one of my most anticipated movies now, because I'm an Apple fan. I own Apple stock. I love what they're doing, and to see the behind the scenes, oh man, I'm excited.
Now, Schmoville, another movie that Mark, I hear Mark is very excited about, is the My Little Pony movie that's in development at Hasbro. Mark Grazer, that was a great scoop over at Variety this week. You know, I grew up, I'm not ashamed to admit it, I grew up watching My Little Pony. I'm not a brony. I don't watch this stuff now.
That's what I was wondering.
I think that's weird. But I definitely, I watch My Little Pony, Rainbow Bright, all that weird kid stuff.
Strawberry
Shortcake.
I will not lie. I did get some My Little Pony, the horses that I played with my sister when I was little.
Sure.
I don't think I ever watched the cartoon, but no. I then would take the My Little Ponies and my G.I. Joes would ride them into battle.
Oh, I like that.
That's what I would do.
Trusty steeds.
Yes, they're trusty steeds. My sister would complain and get mad at me and say, "You're ruining the whole thing." And so I'm not excited for that. What are they? Is this going to be live action or
No, it'll be animated.
It's just going to be
I think I imagine it'll be a big hit.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I do know that there is a very...
We're trying to court the brony audience right now.
Okay, I think that this movie happened because of the bronies. Because I
Probably.
Hear it's an absolute, like, it's a conundrum for me, but like that these are people that actually go to these conventions and I mean, just worship at the altar of My Little Pony. So if you have that kind of outlet of these big conventions with bronies, which are males, which are the leading demographic for movies nowadays. Like,
right. You're like supplementing that kid's audience with a bunch of kind of weird dudes.
I know, weird. Man,
No judgment.
But I will ask, is it going to be kind of like Star Wars where, you know, they're going to dress up and wait in line overnight? And, you know, is it that kind of thing?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, my God. That is so funny.
Elsewhere in the news, we're going from My Little Pony to the Cabin Fever reboot. Did you see that announcement this week?
I did. And I can't believe this, because I hear that they're actually just taking the shooting script of the original and just casting...
Same script. The script for Cabin Fever is that good, we need to use it twice.
Yeah. And why? Why is this? I want to hear your...
Totally. I mean, you know, Eli seemed excited about it on Twitter, and I'm an Eli Roth fan.
Me too.
I was like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
You know, write a different script or do something that is different. And I'm sure, you know, you see like these film contests or whatever where they give two people the same script and you see how you get two totally different movies.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that this Cabin Fever movie will be different in some respects.
Sure.
Certainly the casting won't be as cool.
No.
Without my man Ryder Strong.
Yeah, that's right.
but yeah, I just don't see how this is like a worthwhile creative pursuit at this time for Eli Roth. I mean, he's executive producing, so I don't know how involved he's really going to be, but it's just a weird concept.
Like, yeah, and it's look, to reboot Cabin Fever, which came out how many years ago? I know it was his first movie that kind of put him on the map, yeah. But, you know, that's a nonsense reboot. I can't say it any other way. It's nonsense. That.
Yeah, a very weird choice.
Yeah, and to just use the same script. Sure, why not? You know,
do it again.
Why not just give the script to a bunch of 13-year-olds and have them go in their backyard?
That would be more interesting. Raiders of the Lost Ark. Thing.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So so that's in the news, guys. And right away, Schmoville, I'm going to apologize. There's no hopeful news break this week. It's my fault, really, because I've been so busy. Preparing to destroy everyone in the Ultimate Schmodown, which I won.
Little wonderful.
Thank you, by the way, Schmovo, for all your support. It was awesome. It was so much fun. I'm happy it's over because I'm tired now of answering trivia questions. I'm trivia'd out, and I'm probably going to have to give up the mantle on the next round, but that's fine by me.
It was a marathon victory.
It's a marathon victory. So no hopeful news break, guys. It was, you know, busy, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I do want to just give a little something out there. I got a scoop, much like your Aquaman, Batman v Superman scoop.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of heard something, overheard something.
Yes.
I'm going to talk a little bit about Terminator Genesis, folks. Spoiler alert. I have a very, very, very good source who's been right every time with stuff that he or she has given me. And I know the whole movie of Terminator Genesis.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I got it all. I am not going to spoil the movie. I don't want to do that. I talked with Christian at length about this. The real kind of scoop would ruin the movie. And I'm just not into that. You know, there are Terminator fans, rabid Terminator fans. I am one of them. I've heard about it. This is what I'll say. We're in trouble. This movie,
I'm not surprised,
is going to, I think it's going to piss off Terminator fans. I think it's going to be the last what am I trying to say? It's the last nail in the coffin in the franchise. I really think that the way that they're trying to spin a new take on the Terminator series is going, I don't even think it looks good on paper. So I know the ending. I know who the villain is, and it's out of left field, which I don't like. And again, it's Arnold coming back as old Terminator, and time traveling. And the time traveling elements are going to confuse the hell out of everyone, from what I'm hearing. The Terminator and new Terminators are we got a hybrid of a Terminator in Salvation, and now we have a different form of a Terminator that I will not get into because that's a big spoiler, but there's a different sort of Terminator coming out, and again, it's a reach. And I'm like, why are you doing this? Can't we just go back to the basics? I would have loved to see Skynet's last attempt to destroy the Connor family and for the future and send in the last Terminator they have, and that's the old T-800 model of Arnold Schwarzenegger as the bad guy. Okay, go back to the basics.
This is all so confusing. There's a lot of different timelines and stuff. Listen, I know people working on this movie as well. It sounds awful.
Yeah.
Every decision that they've made from the start on this Terminator Genesis movie, I have not been a fan of.
Yeah.
Me
too. And to even now to hear the plot, the beats, the characters, their development, their arcs, I just don't know. I don't know what to expect. The one scoop I will give is that young Terminator, first ever Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger from the original film, will have a huge scene in the opening of the movie. And that's all I'll say. So it's going to be kind of cool. We're talking.
Is he naked?
Yep.
He better be naked.
Yep. Yep. Okay. We're getting the original Terminator. CGI, everything, you know, to
sure,
make the...
just like
the,
Jeff Bridges and Tron.
Exactly. Hopefully the effects will look good. But that's the scoop I'll drop, that the original Terminator is making an appearance. I think that's going to be the only scene worth seeing. And because it goes off the rails from there.
I just want to see a Terminator movie where, like, you know, Edward Furlong is the Terminator.
Ugh.
So we'll recast Edward Furlong with Jaden Lieberer, the kid from St. Vincent, and he has to protect Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he's like a little 13-year-old Terminator. That's what I want to say.
You're kind of, though, reading my mind, and I'll just leave it vague like
that. Oh, my God.
You're saying Edward Furlong cast as a Terminator, but he played John Connor, so...
I'm saying, like, if we go back to T2...
Uh-huh.
I'd like to see that movie with Edward Furlong's character, the 12-year-old boy, as a Terminator.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Well, you touched on something, guys. If you can unlock the riddle,
ooh,
you might figure out the Terminator movie.
Dun, dun, dun,
I'll just
dun, dun.
Leave it at that. So anyways, there, guys, sorry for the no hopeful news break, but hopefully that little Terminator nugget will make you happy. And so that's all I'll say on that. So what else? I mean, we have to wrap it up pretty quick here. Which kind of sucks, guys, because, again, traffic on the 101, I mean, I don't know, a trailer jackknifed in the middle of the whole thing, and we were late.
It was bad.
It was really bad.
Forbes just dropped a shortlist for Wonder Woman directors.
Oh, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Sorry, superheroes.
First of all, it's Forbes, so should we? I mean,
I know, right?
If you told me before I even saw this report, name five women who will be on the Wonder Woman shortlist, it would like be these five names.
Catherine Bigelow's on there.
Yep. Keep going.
Okay. Catherine Hardwick.
Yep.
Okay. This is escaping me names. Go on.
Karen Kusama.
Not familiar.
She did like Eon Flux and Girl Fight and.
Okay, sure.
Dude, this is none of these are happening.
Yeah.
Mimi Letter.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
From Deep Impact.
Deep
and
Impact.
Julie Taymor from Across the Universe.
Julie Taymor.
The idea that anyone would give Julie Taymor Wonder Woman, I mean, for Forbes to even. That doesn't pass the smell test for me. Julie Taymor is not directing. Wonder Woman. I was about to curse.
Stay away from Wonder Woman. I mean, Catherine Bigelow would be my top choice just because she's a wonderful director.
Sure. Absolutely.
She could do it. You know, she's got the pop culture history with Point Break. She's got the cred with Hurt Locker and Zero Dark Thirty. That would be an amazing get. I don't think they'll get her. I don't think she's interested.
I don't think she's interested either, and I don't want to see a Wonder Woman movie from any of these other four directors.
Who would you want?
Listen, you don't need a female director. I know they probably want one.
Yeah.
You know, but for what? For the sake of PR and marketing? Like,
I think so.
Make the best movie. Like,
right. I like the idea because I believe that women directors we need more of them, and we need them to who is the director that dropped off of Thor 2?
Patty Jenkins. It's like, yeah, I'd like to see her. That would be great. So
that would be great.
She'd clash with Marvel. DC comes in and gives her a real shot.
That would be great.
You know, I'm fine with someone like Michelle McLaren, who Forbes also mentioned. I mean, they're just like throwing out all these.
I think they're just
there's
going
like
the
seven or eight
route.
Female names, and yeah, six.
I know
or,
how
six
do you,
of them are on here.
It's sadly that is a comment on the state of the industry. When there's only a handful of women directors and they're all on the shortlist for Wonder Woman, of course they are.
I don't know. Forbes, you got to earn it with me. And,
yeah.
This is like the first scoop I've read of yours, and I'm not buying it.
I'm not buying that either. It's just too obvious. Now, give me some real meat. I would, to be honest with you, and not to be sexist or anything about putting a man in the director's chair,
mm-hmm.
I would love, because I'm hearing Whedon is going to not continue after Avengers. He started it all with Wonder Woman.
Oh, he's not jumping to DC.
I know, but I'd love to see it. I would love to see it. He's a big woman. He makes women look good. And if he came in and directed that, I think it would be a home run. But you are absolutely right. He's not jumping ship.
Yeah. No.
He's not going to DC. So, hey, JTE, what are we on time? Five minutes. All right.
I just feel like, you know, if you're a woman, why would you want a woman to direct Wonder Woman just because she's a woman? Like, don't you want to see someone earn it on their own merits?
Yeah.
Like, I've never heard of, like, you know, the studios being like, oh, well, we're just looking for a male director.
Right.
They're looking for the best director for the job, and that's what DC should be looking for Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And if it happens to be a woman, great.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like, why have this conversation? Just because Wonder Woman is a woman and we need a woman director, why not get a director for Doctor Strange that's a woman, or, you know, an Avengers 3 directed by a woman, or another Terminator directed by a woman. It doesn't matter.
There's been plenty of amazing movies about women. I'll just name Silence of the Lambs.
There
Clarice
you go.
Starling.
There
hello.
You go. Mm-hmm.
That are directed by men. So,
yeah, I think that's just a kind of a. I think that's a play to the audience, maybe the politics of it all.
Sure.
To we're gonna cast a woman. Makes sense. But again, I'm with you, Jeff. We need just a good director. And moreover, a good script. Start there, folks.
Of course.
Start with the script, please.
Is there anything you saw this week that you wanted to mention?
Not really. Nope. I mean, it's just been a lot of Marvel, the Hobbit posters. I mean, come on, guys. The Hobbit posters. How many do we need? Jeez, man.
I saw Citizen 4 Wednesday night.
Oh,
the
how
Edward
was that?
Snowden documentary.
Yeah?
It was pretty good.
Nice.
I mean, this has definitely been the season for, like, journalism thrillers and movies. You know, Kill the Messenger, Nightcrawler is very journalism-based.
God, I can't wait to see Nightcrawler.
So I really enjoyed Citizen 4. I didn't pay that close attention to the Edward Snowden stuff, so I learned a lot. If you did, it might feel like a bit of a rehash. It's kind of like him watching his story unfold in real time, which is fascinating in and of itself, though.
Mm-hmm.
And you're watching the journalists from The Guardian, Glenn Greenwald and whatever, as they're getting this story and, like, wrestling with these big questions of what do we put in, what do we leave out? Like, it was pretty fascinating.
And it was a documentary?
Yeah. It is a documentary, and it's, like, the access that they have is unprecedented.
Wow. So do you think this is, like, kind of, like, best documentary feature or
I think
Oscar?
I think it absolutely has to be in the question. I don't know if it could win. I'm still a huge fan of the Ebert, another journalism movie, the Ebert documentary,
oh,
Life Itself.
It's so
which I hope
good.
Is coming out on DVD soon.
I saw it on Netflix.
Oh, it already is.
Yeah.
Okay,
I saw
wonderful.
It on Netflix.
Great.
So, yeah, and I love that. That's a good one. That's a good call.
So, yeah, look for Citizen 4. And then I watched a horror movie last night, but I think we'll maybe save that for next week.
Yeah, because next week
we have Ryan Turek on.
Ryan Turek from ShockTillYouDrop.com is coming on because, as we know, next week is Halloween, and we are going to do a full-on horror-based podcast of Meet the Movie Press with a leading guy, Ryan Turek, on Shock Till You Drop, just kind of leading the charge.
I couldn't even wait this on the wrap. If you check later in the day, I'm going to have my top 10 favorite Halloween movies.
Oh, nice.
With my What's the Deal video.
Can you give me one of them so I can agree or disagree?
So I have to make sure that you've seen it.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 10.
Okay.
Candyman.
Ooh.
That's right.
I dig it.
That's right.
I love Candyman. That's a good one. Okay.
Yeah,
they should resurrect
that character with, like, Idris Elba or something.
Oh,
that'd be crazy.
Actually, you know what?
He wasn't. He disappointed me in No Good Deed.
Yeah,
he wasn't
exactly.
that good of a psychopath. Did you see, real quick, did you see Stretch?
No, I haven't seen it yet, but right. my good friend Bonnie Somerville saw it and texted me and said, "You have to see this movie." And I can't believe...
I love how you read that text.
I did. It
had the punctuation for that kind of dramatic line reading.
Oh, yeah. It was like, period, you, period, half, period, two, you know, that kind of thing. So it was Carnahan, right? And he couldn't find funding. And is that what's the movie? I know he made it. But.
Yeah, I mean, it just... Universal didn't want to put it out. I don't know why.
That's sad.
We have got to get going, I think.
Yeah,
but
we have got to get going. Guys, do us a favor. Go on iTunes and subscribe. We had some glitches. Everybody's saying it. It just happens. Skynet took over somehow. So please resubscribe if you haven't already and give us some comments. Rate it. Share with your friends. Go over to the Meet the Movie Press Facebook page. Give us a like. You can follow me at Riley Around. Jeff?
I'm at the Ian Snyder.
Yes.
You just met the movie press.
You met the movie press. A very short version on this crazy Friday, casual Friday. Thanks, as always, guys, for tuning in. We will see you next week with Ryan Turek from Shock to Your Drop on a special Halloween episode.
From producers Christian Harloff, Mark Ellis, and the entire Schmoes No Network crew, we would like to thank you for listening to Meet the Movie Press. Special thanks to Kevin Undergaro and Maria Menounos, the author of Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness, in stores now. To watch or listen to other Schmoes No Network episodes, get movie news, or join the conversation, be sure to visit schmoesno.com. I'm the Pit Boss, and this has been a presentation of Schmoes No Network.